What are you doing over there?
I was going to try and put music out for you.
You didn't hear the music, so you were going to sing?
Yeah, well, there was no music yet.
Turn the music down.
Let's bring it. Greg, sing.
Bring us back.
I need something to sing. What do you want me to sing?
Whatever you want.
Back to Mason Ireland.
Hold on. Let me set it up. Hold on.
All right.
Hi, this is Cooper Kupp of your Los Angeles Rams. It's Mason in Ireland, the number one sports show in L.A.
710 ESPN.
Mamma mia, let me go. Miss Milagna.
You couldn't even make it 5 seconds.
I couldn't do it. That is not my forte.
All right. So we've been... by the way, have I lied yet?
I don't know.
Have I?
All right. I don't want to know.
I have not paid attention.
Keep listening. All right. So, Bergman, we've gotten into this whole name thing with Adele, which you originally thought her name was supposed to be
Hudel,
which turned out to be not true. Instead, according to reports yesterday, it is Adele instead of Adele. So you found other famous people's names that we mispronounce.
Yes. So do you want me to say it how I think it's said originally, just to get it all set
up? Say it.
And then
the
I'm gonna ask you how.
Okay,
so I'm gonna say Zendaya. How would each of you say Zendaya?
Zendaya.
How would you say it?
Zendaya.
Okay, Zendaya. The actual answer is,
my name is not Zendaya. My name is Zendaya.
Boom, you were on it.
One nothing.
You and Zendaya.
All
okay.
Right.
Give me another one.
Okay, the next one is Rihanna. How would you say Rihanna?
Rihanna.
John?
Rihanna.
Okay.
Hello, British folk. It's Rihanna, and I want to...
Rihanna.
Okay,
Rihanna.
It's
1-1. 1-1.
Ooh, look at that. Okay. Chrissy Teigen.
Huh.
How would you say Chrissy Teigen?
Confused.
I will say Chrissy... Teigen.
No, it's Teigen.
It's Teigen. Okay,
yeah.
That's right. Chrissy Teigen. He'll see how she says it.
I'm tired of living this lie. It's Teigen.
Teigen.
Wow. Chrissy Teigen?
Wow.
I'm not changing.
Wow.
But it's Chrissy Teigen.
I need a button.
Camila Cabello. How would you say Camila Cabello?
Camila Cabello.
How would you, Mace?
Camila...
You can say Camilla if you want.
Camilla Cabello.
Okay.
So it's Camila.
Camila.
That's mine.
Cabello.
Cabello.
That's mine. Both of them. I got them both.
Look at that.
Nice. I think we generally say that one right.
That was normally right, but no. I think, John, you said Cabello.
Yeah, which we'll have play her again.
Okay.
So it's Camila.
Camila.
Cabello.
Cabello.
Yes. Okay.
Cabello. Yeah. All right. So now this one's a little bit more. Actually, I'm going to save that one for last.
Okay.
Taylor Lautner. How would you say Taylor?
Whatever happened to Taylor off the face of the earth.
Right. But you know who he is.
Yeah, sure. He was the werewolf guy.
But I can't think of any other way to pronounce that other than Taylor Lautner.
Okay. Mace?
Taylor Lautner. Lautner.
Lautner.
Hi, I'm Taylor.
I'm Taylor Lautner.
It's Taylor.
I'm Taylor Lautner.
Lautner.
Okay. Taylor Lautner.
Okay. All right. Where are you, Taylor Lautner?
Now.
You've disappeared.
Now, this is the toughest one. Jake Gyllenhaal. So Maggie Gyllenhaal, too.
Right, yeah. Right.
So how would you pronounce Gyllenhaal?
Well, I'm thinking since you put him on this list, it's got to be Gyllenhaal.
Okay.
I'll say Jake Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal. All right, this is my favorite one.
I have to help you with it. It is actually Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal.
There it is.
Gyllenhaal.
There it is right there.
What is your...
Okay.
Gyllenhaal.
Wow. That one, I didn't know that one.
I am going
Jake
to pronounce
him.
Call him Jake Gyllenhaal.
I'm going to call him Gyllenhaal.
Every time. Yeah. I hope you see him at a Laker game one day.
And I'm going to go, hey, Jake Gyllenhaal.
So Ireland. Is that it?
There's more, but I didn't pull them up.
Okay,
those are the only ones.
Bergman,
right,
I'm curious.
Yeah.
When you tried to sing Bohemian Rhapsody,
is that the only
part of the song you know?
No,
let me start you and see how far you can go. Okay.
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, I know the whole song.
Is this the real life?
Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality.
Good.
Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy. No, I need no sympathy.
Good.
Because it's easy come, easy go. Little high, little low. Any way the wind blows doesn't really matter to me.
Wow.
To me.
That's great, man.
Hey, now, why couldn't you do that? Were you, because you were under pressure?
I couldn't figure out the beginning. Yeah, yeah,
that was very good.
No, that was impressive. I didn't expect that.
That's a great song.
Yeah. All right. So, John, Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks are doing a one-night-only concert in Texas.
This is going to be so expensive.
It's in Texas. One night only. I don't have a list of prices, but
yeah.
She's 74, he's 73. They don't tour a lot anymore. They're now touring together. First of all, I guess here's the question. If you could put together two living acts to perform together,
mm-hmm.
who would you put together? Got to be living. Got to be a duo.
If you get it right, like you didn't go to this concert because you got sick, but Sting and Peter Gabriel went on tour together, and it was just unbelievable.
I got sick going to Billy Joel, by the way.
Oh, is that the one?
The one I got sick on. Threw up on my shoes.
I could put any two people together.
Yep.
Okay. I think it would be something along the lines of, I love Sting, so he's probably going to have to be
Sting
one of them.
Sting is a really good one, yeah.
But who would I put him with? I'd probably put Sting with Beyonce and see what happens.
Interesting. Sting with Beyonce.
Either Sting with Beyonce or Sting with Adele. Show. But I think Beyonce would be better.
Yeah.
Adele kind of needs her own stage.
No, Adele is, first of all, it's Adele.
Mm-hmm.
She would be on my card.
Okay, with?
Oh, it's a good question.
You put McCartney on there. He's still
alive. What I was thinking was McCartney.
Bono. Yeah, but
Bono and Adele.
Bono's part of a band.
Well, if I was really going to put, if I could put two bands together, I put together, my favorite band at the moment is AJR, and my all-time favorite band is U2. That would be a great show. Do you know AJR?
Mm-mm.
Play some AJR when we come back.
Okay.
It's a great band. What about you, Bergman?
AJR, I love AJR, but like putting two people together.
Two
I was thinking of McCartney. I really like the McCartney-Adele thing, though.
McCartney
I was thinking McCartney.
McCartney and Adele. I just don't think, does McCartney have anything left in the tank? I mean, isn't he like 87 years old?
I would go see him tomorrow. If he was performing at LA Live, I'd go tomorrow.
Me too. He's a Beatle. I've never seen a Beatle.
I saw him once in Texas, playing at Cowboy Stadium. He was unbelievable.
Okay, I got two stories.
He's great.
Two stories about, I got, don't forget, Lie of the Day at any point.
Mm-hmm.
So Billy Joel, nicest guy in the world. When I was working at WNEW in New York, there was a tremendous snowstorm that hit. And Billy Joel was playing at Madison Square Garden. He was playing like six nights or whatever it was, a big, big tour. And we got a call just cold to the radio station, like a caller line. And they said, this is Billy Joel. I want to make an announcement about my concert. I'm like, is this really Billy Joel?
Yeah.
Really?
I would have been skeptical.
He called every radio station in New York that day to say this concert is canceled and it will be rescheduled for next Wednesday or whatever it was. It was amazing. Okay, so here is Stevie Nicks I interviewed when I was in Toledo. And I had to get up. She stays up all night. She's like an all-night
woman
person.
After my own heart.
Yeah. And we had to interview her on tape at 3 a.m. Toledo time to run at 7 a.m. So
okay.
It was the middle of the night with Stevie Nicks. But
okay.
You always had to deal with her every interview she does at really weird times. And I'm sure she's wearing black and she's spinning around and all the stuff that Stevie Nicks usually does. All right, coming up, Anita Marks is going to be here. Anita Marks is our gambling expert. Is BetLA on tonight, Bergman?
It is on tonight, yes.
8 to 11, Anita Marks, Bet LA tonight, or as we sometimes call it, Bet Against LA. We will get her in here coming up next. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
All right, time to...
There's AGR.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Great band. All right, so Anita Marks is here. Anita, how are you?
I'm great!
So, Anita, I got a little fun fact about you.
You do?
Really?
Oh, did you Google?
I did.
You Googled, or you... It's better if you can find somebody that grew up with her, and then they can give us all the really good dirt. Oh.
So, I am going to ask you about playing women's professional football for the Miami Fury in the WPFL championship, your final season with the Florida Stingrays. How did you get wrapped up in that?
So grew up the biggest tomboy you know, and played Pop Warner football, made my JV football team in high school, and then
went pro.
College, played a lot of flag football, represented University of South Florida, the national championships in New Orleans every year. And then they started the Women's Professional League. And as soon as they had a team in Miami called the Miami Fury, I went and I tried out, and I quarterbacked for 5 years. Yep.
Excellent.
Wow, that's crazy.
Who knew, Anita?
That's cool. No wonder you know so much.
All right. So, Anita, let me get to some game stuff. All right.
Okay.
It seems to me, and maybe this happens every year, and now we're just paying more attention to it, but it seems to me that there are a lot of weird upsets this year. For example, I'm in a confidence pool where I'm doing pretty well. I'm in the top five. There's 35 teams in it. But I would have won the whole week and built a big lead when Chicago and New England played. And I understand the Bears upset them, but it wasn't close. Chicago just destroyed them. Then this past week, I'm in the same situation. I've got Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. Mm. They've won 4 or 5 games in a row. They go into Cleveland. Not close, Anita. Not that they're just losing. They're getting destroyed. Is there more of that this year? Are there more like large-scale upsets than there been? Or am I just noticing it more?
I think you're noticing it more. I mean, each and every year, each and every week, I'd say that there's one game. And by the way, I was all over Cincinnati. Okay, so I lost my... But
yeah,
in
me
that
too.
Game, so I'm heading into this week not with house money. So just full disclosure there. I was with you with Cincinnati. Listen, there's just some teams that just, you know, wet the bed. You know, I've spoken to a number of coaches. I don't when we talk about a team playing a division rival, think about this, guys. If a team just beats everyone in their division, they're going to the playoffs.
Yeah, because they have 8 wins. Yeah.
They're going to the playoffs. So a lot of times, like, a team won't put their best foot forward because it's not a division rival, and maybe they're heading into a bye week, and then maybe they're going to play a division rival after the bye week. So maybe they're not going to play a certain player that would make a difference in the game. And not to say that winning obviously matters each and every week. That's not what I'm saying is when it's against a division rival, it's even more important. And I know, obviously, Cleveland and Cincinnati play in the same division. Chicago and the Patriots do not. But nonetheless, sometimes just teams overlook, take for granted, or a certain coach will out scheme and out think. The other coach. A lot of times, listen, coaching is important, man.
All right, let's do a little.
Let's win the people some money.
Yeah.
Let's feed the people.
Let's start, Anita. Let's start with tonight.
Yeah.
I think the spread's too big.
It is a gigantic. Is it 13.5?
Yeah,
Anita?
It's up. It opened 9.5. Eagles at Texans opened 9.5.
Mm-hmm.
13.5 on the road. I can take the Texans as a home dog and get 13.5 points. My instinct is I should do that, but you study this stuff. What's the right side of that game?
So this is how I'm playing it. Eagles first quarter -3. Eagles second quarter -4. Eagles first half -7.5. And Eagles team total over 29.5 points. That's how I'm playing it.
So you don't have to touch that 13.5.
Don't even play around with it. Because here's why. The Eagles are the best team in the first half of the NFL. They end up at the end of the half, they go into the locker room by a margin of 21 more points than their opponents. They have scored 126 points in the second quarter, which is plus 96 more points than anyone else. But in the second half, get this, guys, in the second half, they've only scored 49 points. You know why? Because they don't have to. They're
right.
So good in the first half. They're undefeated, and they've only scored 49 points in the second half.
Right.
So that's how I'm playing Eagles first quarter, second quarter, first half, team total over 29.5 points, and I'm going to sleep like a baby tonight.
Okay. So I joke, and I have a feeling it's coming again.
Yep, you're right. It's coming.
Anita's
prepare.
The host
Buckle
of the
up.
Bet Against LA show.
Yep.
Tampa is -3 over the Rams. I think the Rams have beaten two in a row, including a playoff game at Tampa last year. Tom Brady's on a 3-game losing streak. Rams coming off the San Francisco game. I know you're going to tell me Tampa's going to win the game, so just go ahead and do it.
Here's the play. The play is the under at 42.5. That's the play in this game. But do I have a slight lean towards the Bucks -2.5, -3? I do. What's going on with Cooper Kupp with the ankle? Even if he does play, how effective is he going to be? He is the offense, period. He is the offense.
I can attest to that.
Yeah.
Okay. You probably have him in fantasy. And here's where the game I feel is going to be won by the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams are last in pressure rate. Even with Aaron Donald, they are last in pressure rate in the NFL with only 23%. You give Tom Brady all day, forget about it. The Bucs defense, they can get to the quarterback. Matthew Stafford, we know what problems he's having with that offensive line. The Bucs defense, also, you know, they're very aggressive in regards to turnovers. They have, offensively, they avoid sacks and they limit turnovers offensively. So I have a small lean towards the Bucks, but the play for me, guys, is the under.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Anita, there's two spreads that don't make any sense to me. I want to see if they make sense to you. The Chargers are not good. I mean, they Justin Herbert doesn't look right. Ever since they lost their best wide receiver, they can't pass the ball. They're favored by 3 in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. What's the right side of that game?
Atlanta.
I think so, too.
Yeah, but the play is the over.
Okay.
The play is over 48.5. I have a small lean towards Atlanta. You're right. I think a big reason why the Chargers are favored is because, obviously, Justin Herbert, a better quarterback than Marcus Mariota. There's no denying that. But everything that I'm hearing and I'm reading is that Keenan Allen's hamstring injury got worse during the bye. How'd that happen? What, did he go play pickup basketball or something? What happened there? Mike Williams. He's out.
How are they favored, Anita?
Here's where I don't listen, odds makers, that I call them the smartest people in the room, but you know, I don't know. But here's why I'm leaning towards Atlanta. The Chargers defense is so horrible against the run. They are last in yards after contact. So Marcus Mariota, to me, over 36.5 rushing yards. Also, they get Cordarrelle Patterson back. He's coming off of IR. Arthur Smith and this Atlanta Falcons team love to run the football. They're going to run all over the Chargers. They're going to own time of possession. I think it's going to be close. The Chargers could win. I like Atlanta getting the points. Again, the play here for me is the over at 48.5.
All right, here's the other one. Bergman and I are Raider fans. Anita, they stink. They are not good. They can't move the ball, and they scored 0 points on the road last week in New Orleans. They are somehow 1.5-point favorites at Jacksonville. What's the right side of that game?
Yeah, don't get it. I love Jacksonville here. There's no
Me too.
I love Jacksonville. The Raiders, they have the 28th worst red zone defense in the NFL. They've given up 11 passing touchdowns. They allow 40 yards per drive, which is 30th in the NFL, and they're only averaging, they're averaging less than two sacks and turnovers per game. So, and I will say, guys, the Jacksonville Jaguars have to be one of the unluckiest teams in the NFL. They put up solid numbers. They just turn the ball over. Trevor Lawrence turns the ball over in the red zone. So I'm with the Jags because of how bad the Raiders' red zone defense is. I like the Jags. I'll take the points. I'll play them on the money line. Also, I like Christian Kirk over 53 and a half receiving yards. And I love ATN over 104 and a half total yards. He is going to destroy the Raiders. If you play DFS, you absolutely positively want ATN in your lineup.
Okay. Real quick, need 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. On USC minus 21 over Cal at the Coliseum. Caleb Williams, 24 touchdowns, only one interception so far. The defense is questionable. What's the right side of that game?
Hey, this is homecoming.
Yeah, it's homecoming.
And from what I understand, they're going to be wearing the 1972 championship.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, so you know, do I feel comfortable laying 21? No, I don't. This is the play here. The play for me is over 41 and a half team total points for USC. Okay. I think that's the play there. I'm going to stay 21. I don't like laying double digits anyway. I wouldn't be surprised if they cover, but to me, the play here is over 41 and a half team total points.
And UCLA trying to stay in this race with USC and Oregon in the Pac-12 is minus 11 at Arizona State.
Yep, staying away from that. My favorite play here is Zach Charbonnet. Am I pronouncing that?
Yeah, you got it.
Charbonnet. Yes, Charbonnet.
Yes.
I'm trying to say it's sexy.
Yeah,
I know. We're having an awkward moment here. I know. Is over rushing yards. He's going to run all over those Devils. So I love his over rushing yards as that's my favorite bet in this matchup. It's going to be the Charbonnet show.
Yeah, Anita, when you were playing quarterback in that pro football league, were you more like Tom Brady, stay in the pocket and pick everybody apart, or were you more like Lamar Jackson, if they give you an alley, you're taking off?
Yeah, we're scrambling.
So it's interesting. So I was compared to Dan Marino because I had a really quick release, but I was also compared to Bernie Kosar because I threw sidearm.
There you go.
So I was a mix of Bernie Kosar and Dan Marino. Not bad.
Excellent.
I'll take that. That's guys, good. I'll take that.
All right. There is a former professional quarterback and our gambling expert, Anita Marks. She's on tonight from 8 to 11 here on 710 ESPN with Bet Against LA.
Yeah.
Anita, thanks for coming on as
Thank
always.
Thank you, Anita.
You got it. Good
See
luck
ya.
This weekend.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Coming up next is Matthew Berry, Talented Mr. Roto. This or that, 877-710-ESPN. If you have a quandary, how to set your fantasy football lineup this weekend, this guy or that guy, you can do that on the phones, 877-710-ESPN. You can do it on Twitter, at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at L-A, Ireland. Or you can do it in the Mason and Ireland Mafia. We will be monitoring everything, and Matthew Berry is next, 710 ESPN. Bad stories, 100 good stories, makes it interesting at parties. All right. By the way, Anita Marks was brought to you by Teza. Get more focus and energy in your daily life with Teza Nutrient Pouches. Visit TezaEnergy.com. Make your mouth happy. And what's my flavor right now? Spicy cinnamon is the one that I'm on right now. I love those Teza packets. All right. Joining us right now is, you know him from Peacock. You know him from NBC. You know him from NBC Sports Edge. You know him from his podcast and everything he does. Matthew
And
Berry,
from the Blockbuster Feature Films.
That's right. With the Russo Brothers. Hey, Matthew, what's going on? What's going on, man?
Not much. It's a tough day for those of us with Rashad Bateman and dynasty leagues, but other than that, yes, you know. No complaints.
Okay, Matthew, I'm in a boat where I think a lot of fantasy players are in this week, so I wanted to ask you about it. I've got a couple of guys on my roster who have been traded at the trade deadline. Mm. And these are guys that are on my bench. I normally don't play them. One is James Robinson. He got traded from the Jags to the Jets. And the other is Chase Claypool, who got traded from the Steelers to the Bears. In situations like that, we'll just take those two for example, Robinson and Claypool. Should I consider playing those guys because they've got a fresh start on a new team, or can you overrate that as a fantasy player? Is that a mistake people make?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're talking in generalities about a specific situation. What I would say is, in terms of your team, depends on who else you have, right? I will say overall that both Claypool and Robinson improved their situation by their trades. That's not always the case. But and sometimes, in those particular cases, both guys improved their fantasy stock. In the case of Robinson, Travis Etienne was playing pretty much every snap and had kind of overtaken that backfield. By going to the Jets and improving and basically replacing Breece Hall. Now, he's not Breece Hall's ability. He's not going to be on third down the way Breece Hall was, involved in the passing game the way Breece Hall was. But the fact of the matter is that he, now that he's up to speed and hopefully fully healthy, he should get, call it, you know, 55-60% of the Jets running back touches this week against Buffalo. Now, you don't love that matchup, obviously, against the Bills, but in general, Robinson improved his value by moving from Jacksonville to Jets. And as for Claypool, again, like, I think he either upgraded a quarterback or at worst was negligible. I mean, Kenny Pickett's been inconsistent so far this year. Justin Fields feels like he has turned a corner last few games here. And Claypool goes from a situation where he's competing with Deontay Johnson and George Pickens and Pat Freiermuth for targets to Chicago, where he's really only got Darnell Mooney. And so I think this is a good start for a good fresh start for Chase Claypool. He can kind of play a big slot role and sort of take the place of, and he can also play outside as well, obviously. So he can sort of take the place of Allen Robinson, who they had last year and the year before with Mooney. You know, a bigger guy along with a speed guy in Mooney. I think it's a good situation for both guys in terms of upping their fantasy value. Still not significant fantasy value, but certainly more than they had on their old teams.
All right, if you've got a this or that question, 877-710-ESPN for Matthew Berry. This is a little bit of breaking news, Matthew, and it's related to fantasy. Cam Akers is now on track, according to Steve Wyche of NFL Network, to play on Sunday for the Rams. Now, he's by far their best run. They got Darrell Henderson. They got Ronnie Rivers. I mean, is Cam Akers worth a – is he a live play? Is he a flex guy for this week?
I don't think so, just because we don't – it's such a weird situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we knew the numbers that we know now and we were looking at the beginning of the year, you'd be like, oh, yeah, Cam Akers, he should be fully healthy by week nine. He's going to play the Buccaneers, who in week nine will have been the 29th worst run defense over the last 4 weeks, full speed ahead. But it's been such a weird situation with Cam Akers. He's a health, you know, he's the starter. Well, first off, he's in the doghouse.
Yep.
No, he's back in good graces. Now he's back in the doghouse. Now he's a healthy scratch. Now we're going to try to trade him. We couldn't trade him. We're not going to release him. Now he's back and everyone's good. Like, it's so weird. You know, and the fact is that the Rams haven't run the ball effectively all year long. You know, it feels like they really miss Whitworth of the offensive line. The line hasn't been great
right.
This entire year. It's been inconsistent. And then you guys get Henderson, and we saw Ronnie Rivers get involved last week and actually lead that backfield. You've got Malcolm Brown that they like at the goal line for whatever reason. And so, you know, I mean, like, it just, eh. Like, there are six teams on a bye, so if you are desperate, sure. Any scenario would not surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if Cam Akers gets 20 touches on Sunday, and it wouldn't surprise me if he plays special teams and gets two snaps. Like, I think everything's on the table here. And in fantasy, what we try to do is we try to narrow down the variables, not expand upon them. And there's just too many with Cam Akers at the moment.
All right, let's get to the people here, Matthew. This one, a tweet from Compadre. Chase Claypool or Tyler Boyd?
Tyler Boyd, not close.
Boyd, do you think Boyd steps into the void created by Chase, or is it kind of by committee?
No, I think he's not Jamar Chase. He's more of a slot guy. They use Michael Thomas, the other Michael Thomas, on the outside there. So, but does he step into that role in terms of, hey, there are now a lot of targets to go around? Sure, absolutely. He's playing the Carolina Panthers this week. They're 26th against the pass. By the way, they're one of the worst defenses in the NFL in terms of yards allowed to the slot. So Tyler Boyd, who scored last week, Yes, I think he's the play here, and I don't think it's particularly close.
All right, let me get this one. Adam Martell is an interesting question. Tyler Allgeier, I think, is the way, the Atlanta guy. And
Allgeier.
And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, RB2.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose right now, I'm going to go with Tyler Allgeier. Look, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is part of a three-headed committee that's going to play the Titans on Sunday night. And Tennessee has the number one run defense in the NFL over the last 4 weeks. You can throw on them, which is what we expect the Chiefs to do. But, you know, we saw Isaiah Pacheco start to get more run before the bye. They like Jerick McKinnon, who's actually, believe it or not, McKinnon's played the most snaps of any Chiefs running back each of the last 3 weeks. So I'm going to say Allgeier. However, there is a chance that Cordarrelle Patterson, who's been activated off the IR, they've got 21 days to, you know, he's returned to the team, I should say. They've started his clock.
Right.
And he's got 21 days now to be activated. It could be this week because he's returned to practice. And in that case, you might think about Edwards-Helaire, who will be on just a higher scoring offense. But if Patterson is out, then Allgeier would be my choice.
All right, let's go to the phones.
If Patterson plays, then go with CEH.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Here's Alex in Covina. Hey, Alex, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering if I should go with Brady or Fields.
Tom Brady or Justin Fields, Matthew?
Wow, that's a real question, huh?
It's a real question, and here's a crazier answer. I want Justin Fields.
Wow.
I mean, like, look, yeah, Justin Fields has been a top 12 fantasy quarterback each of the last 4 weeks. It doesn't matter. He's matchup agnostic because of the rushing. The rushing is so fantastic.
Interesting.
And then you think about this Miami – and you think about this Miami Dolphins defense, right? Miami 18th, so the bottom half of the NFL in terms of pass defense over the last 4 weeks. Obviously, you know, he put up a huge game last week, Fields did, against the Cowboys, a much tougher defense than Miami. And Fields, believe it or not, is number one in the NFL in deep pass rate, passes that are 15 yards or more downfield. The Dolphins are one of the league leaders in terms of most.
Wait a minute.
Most deep.
Did you just
allowed in the NFL?
Did you just say,
yeah,
Justin Fields is number one throwing downfield? I think almost every football fan would miss that.
In deep ball rate. I mean,
okay.
It makes sense when you start thinking about it in deep ball rate. So it's on a percentage basis.
Gotcha.
But the fact of the matter is, when you think about it, Darnell Mooney, like, think about who they have on that team: Darnell Mooney, Dante Pettis, Equanimeous St. Brown. Like, they don't have like any like these, you know, classic sort of slot receivers. It's a bunch of, like, you know, guys that can just sort of fly and go. And Fields has an arm on him. And so, you know, and by sending guys downfield, it opens up the running game, right? I mean, they do a good job with play action. They do a good job with getting Fields on the move and moving the pocket as well. And so, you know, if guys are chasing, meaning safeties and corners are chasing guys down the field, that opens up running lanes for Justin Fields, Dave Montgomery, and Khalil Herbert. And so, anyway, the fact of the matter is just whatever. Brady hasn't, the production has not been there for Tom Brady. I know it's insane, but the Rams have the number one pass defense in the NFL over the last 4 weeks. Give me Justin Fields over Tom Brady this week.
Okay. Now, just give me names, okay? Don't give me background. Just give me names. Jose Preciado, Tua, or Justin Fields?
Tua.
DeAndre Hopkins or Mike Evans?
Oh, boy, that's close. I'll say Evans.
Miles Sanders or Jamal Williams flex?
Also close, but I'll go Miles Sanders.
Devin Singletary or Nyheim Hines?
Devin Singletary, not close.
Tyler Lockett or Juju?
I'm gonna go Juju and not feel great about it.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Matthew, we hit on a lot of things you're doing, and you're busier than you've ever been. Anything else you want to promote that we didn't mention?
Yeah, you know, the Fantasy Life newsletter, available at fantasylife.com. You know, we send it out every single day. It's 100% free. Everything you need to know for fantasy football in a quick 5-minute read. And if you go to fantasylife.com, there's, you know, this segment is all about start sit. We have a 100% free start sit tool where you can just put your questions into the start sit tool, set your scoring, and we will tell you who to start. We have a trade analyzer, a league sync, all sorts of free tools, all at 100% free at fantasylife.com.
All right, awesome, man. Don't forget Peacock every day, Peacock Sunday mornings, NBC Sunday Night Football, and on top of that, NBC Sports Edge. You can read all Matthew's stuff. Matthew, thanks a lot for coming on. We always appreciate it, man.
Of course. Talk to you guys next week.
All right, see you, Matthew.
Matthew Berry. All right, coming up next for you is Bobcat. Bergman's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thanks, Chris and Amanda. All right, so I can't believe I'm actually going to do this, but oh well, here we go.
Okay.
Bubba Watson is currently on the LIV Tour, and he is now coming out and saying that LIV was not the first golf league to offer him guaranteed money. He says the PGA Tour also did, saying, "It makes me laugh because on the PGA Tour, I got paid behind closed doors to show up at tournaments, many tournaments, and if Bubba Watson's not the best, that means the best were getting paid better than me and more than me, and so it's guaranteed money. I miss the cut, I still make the money. I make the cut, I make extra money." Do you believe Bubba, or is he just trying to kind of protect the LIV Tour?
Of course I believe Bubba. 30 years ago, John Feinstein, who's a really good writer,
right, sure,
wrote a book called A Good Walk Spoiled. Mark Twain used to refer to golf as A Good Walk Spoiled. And in that book, Feinstein writes all about, and he did one on the tennis tour too called Hard Courts. It happens in tennis too.
Right.
Appearance fees have been part of golf and tennis for as long as there have been golf and tennis.
Right.
I don't understand why people are shocked here.
Yeah, I guess there's got to be a reason why Tiger Woods shows up in Milwaukee or Phil
Mickelson.
Or how
about Dubai?
Yeah, right. I mean,
you think Tiger Woods is flying halfway around the world for nothing?
But what about PGA Tour events? He's saying he's getting paid, or he did get paid for appearance fees for actual PGA Tour events, not outside stuff.
Mace.
Yeah.
I've been paid to go work at PGA Tour events.
Really?
Of course. Hey, John, we need an MC for our Wednesday Pro-Am.
Right, but you're not golfing.
Wait a minute. You don't think that guys are, like, a tournament.
You think Phil Mickelson getting, well, now he's, but when he was on the PGA,
right,
was he getting money to show up 1,000% at the MetLife Open?
1,000%.
Really?
Oh, my God. And the way they do, they look the other way on it, too. They'll go like, "Hey, Phil, come play in this. We'll set up a clinic for you and pay you $100,000 for the clinic." That way, Phil covers all his expenses before the tournament even starts. Bubba Watson, Greg, is 100% honest here. And anybody who doesn't believe him isn't paying attention.
I think it's kind of crazy. So do you believe him, Mace?
What he said.
Bobcat.
All right, so Bronny James was talked about in The Athletic, and evaluators said that he would project more as someone like Josh Hart, and it would take years for him to become NBA ready. Mm. How long do you think Bronny will stay in college with his dad waiting for him in the NBA?
Well, first of all, if he projects like Josh Hart, both Bronny and LeBron would be thrilled. Well, Josh Hart's a really good NBA player.
Yeah, Josh Hart's
but he stayed all the way through his senior year at Villanova.
Right, but Josh Hart is good. I mean, right. Josh Hart's going to be in the league for 10 to 12 years.
But it doesn't sound like Bronny's going to, like, bail on college after a year. It sounds like he may be there for some. I think
good for him.
We talked about this beforehand. He's more like a mid-level school as opposed to Duke, Kentucky, places like that.
Yeah, he could be like a Davidson-type player opposed to Duke.
Right. Look, if he turns into Josh Hart, who's a really solid rotation player, I think everybody would be happy.
I love Josh Hart.
I also think, by the way, that somebody in the first round is going to wind up, it's not going to be a lottery pick, but somebody will take him just because they know LeBron is going to go there and follow.
So why wouldn't
LeBron plus Bronny, and you've got a chance to win a championship. So I say he will wind up being a first-round pick for that reason, a late first-rounder.
So I'll give you a similar scenario through what Mason just outlined. The Cleveland Cavaliers, who are really good, drafted Evan Mobley, I think, third in the draft last year, and Mobley was first-team All-Rookie. He was a really good player.
Fantastic.
This year, they took Isaiah Mobley, his brother, who's always been with Evan, and they stuck him on the G League team. That's a really good move. When Giannis came to Milwaukee, they got Thanasis, his brother, and stuck him on the G League team, and now Thanasis is on the end of the Bucks bench.
Yeah.
And the Bucks won a title 2 years ago and are the best team in the NBA this year. It would be a good move, Greg, for a team to invest in Bronny if even the possibility of LeBron coming down the road would occur. So I think Bronny's got a bright future.
So isn't that kind of the same thing that the Lakers did with, was the other Antetokounmpo?
Kostas.
Yeah, they tried it with him. He's gone now. Do you even know where he is?
Yeah, he's playing in Greece.
Oh, he's in Greece. Okay. Yeah. But that's what they were trying to do with Kostas, right?
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Well,
yes.
Kostas, because, let's be honest, Giannis had a free agency coming up.
Right.
So why wouldn't you?
Right.
Yeah, I think it's smart.
Bobcat.
Jorge.
Gentlemen, National Sandwich Day. What is your favorite sandwich? What's in it?
Sign me up for a Reuben every day of the week. In fact, there was a period of time. Remember, we were doing the show at Fox Sports West 2 over there by Beverly Hills High School.
Right.
And every day, I'd broken my leg, every day we would stop at the Stage Deli at Century City, and I would pick up a Reuben, and that would be my lunch for the day.
A Reuben is an excellent choice. Does a patty melt count as a sandwich?
Oh, yeah. Yes. A patty melt.
Give me
delicious.
That.
Oh,
man. Give me that.
Yeah. Bergen?
I love a roast beef sandwich on rye.
That's a good choice.
Yeah, that's a good choice. I love roast beef.
With Munster cheese.
Have any of you guys ever had the number mustard. 19 at Langer's?
Oh, sure. No.
The pastrami sandwich. It's so good. I'm not even a pastrami guy, and that sandwich is it. That is number 19 on rye with the Russian dressing. Lights out.
Yeah.
I like the ones from Philippe's.
Those are delicious.
Yeah, you're talking about the French dips.
Oh, yeah,
the French those dips. Are great.
Did you ever have a Monte Cristo?
Oh,
yeah, a little delicious. Sweet for me, a little too much sugar.
Oh. Where they dunk the whole thing
like French
grease
toast.
Afterward. Yeah. Oh, so good. So
or keep
good.
It simple, get a torta.
What's a torta?
It's basically a sandwich with asada, chicken, or whatever you want.
Okay.
A torta. Yeah.
Torta.
Okay.
It's basically the
it's
same
a sandwich.
Thing as a burrito
a
and a taco.
Exactly.
And,
except it's on
does torta bread. Translate a sandwich?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just on a bun instead of a tortilla.
Got it.
Bobcat.
The education. Of Mason and Ironman.
I know my driving.
Bobcat.
There's a whole different show going on back here. I know my driving style. I'm pretty aggressive. I'll pass on the right. I'll drive on the down the exit lane and cut back in at the end, all to save a few minutes on the drive. But yesterday morning, with a bit of a rain falling, a massive bus from the Antelope Valley was driving just like me, weaving in and out of traffic, going down the exit lane, the whole deal, all of it. Is this dangerous, or do you kind of respect it?
No, it's dangerous because he has other people's lives he's responsible for. You, if you do something dumb and reckless, as long as you don't have Riley in the car, that's on you.
Right.
If you have Riley in the car, you suck. But my guess is if you had Riley in the car, you'd be less aggressive.
Oh, no. I'm a very
if Jack's
calm.
In the car, I you know, drive.
See, I am a very aggressive driver. I use all 5 lanes on my way home. I'm seriously.
That's
you're
what
too
they're
slow,
there for.
I'm going there. You're too slow. I'm going there. I got to get all the way over to Bundy. I got to cross the fight, or I got to go to Lincoln and cross a bunch of lanes. And I do it at the last second. You can identify me on the road because I was once in the Toyota Celebrity Grand Prix, and I still drive a little bit like that.
Wait a minute. You finished dead last in that, and they referred to you as the human pylon.
I finished 16th out of 18.
But the other
I beat
two,
both Willie Gault.
But Willie Gault
and Omar Epps.
Yeah, those two dudes wrecked.
That's their problem. I still finished in front of them.
You're like the guy at the end of the Boston Marathon when everybody's ready to go home, and they said, is anybody still out there? Me. And you come rolling across in neutral.
I've been told by
did
the people.
Did you not lose to supermodel Donna Feldman at the Long Beach Grand Prix?
I did.
And you did not lose to my high school buddy Mark McGrath.
I did lose to Mark McGrath.
Okay.
But Willie Gault, wherever you are, Omar Epps, wherever you are, thank you for crashing because I did not finish last, despite what Ireland is saying.
Human pylon.
You almost got hit by a bus, remember?
Almost hit by a bus?
Yeah,
you
when you were backing out. Backing
at the Dodgers game, going to Casados. Situation.
Oh, my God, that was so good.
I had to back up a long way while traffic was going the other way, and I was inside cones. I was trying to back up, and I ended up hitting the curb, and these guys were laughing at me. It was a really tough driving move, Jorge. Don't sit there smiling and laughing
at
me.
It was
a very tough driving move.
John, when you back up, do you tend to go straight?
I try to.
Right. Yeah. He was all over the place.
Okay.
He was going up on the curb. He was coming off the
curb. Can I let you in on a secret? You know, Mason gets his cars from John Patterson,
John
who's
Patterson.
Like the greatest guy.
Yes, he is.
John is like one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. There has not been a car that John has given to Mace that he hasn't done some type of damage to. It's often small.
Yeah.
But your track record is pretty...
Yeah.
Solid.
Well, here's
you ever returned a car in the condition in which John gave it to you?
I mean, I would say they look used. I'm done with them. You know, it's funny. He's kept me in
such
the same
a good
he's
guy.
Kept me in the same car for 3 years now. He figures No, just let him beat the hell out of this one instead of giving him a new one every year.
Well, so. He's smart. Yes, he knows his audience.
All right, coming up next, that Cam Akers story is weird, and plus something famous happened involving Larry King 15 years ago today or this week, and it still makes me laugh. That is coming up for you, Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.